Hello, my friends. Michael Youssef here, and I just wanted to thank you for connecting with Leading the Way. Our entire team is wholly committed to passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth of God's Word, and it cannot be done without you. Learn more about what God has charged us to do around the world by clicking around ltw.org. That's ltw.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you as you seek to serve Him.
Proverbs 22:28 said, "Remove not the boundaries which your forefathers have set." Another translation said, "Do not remove the ancient landmarks set up by your forefathers." Today, property boundaries are professionally surveyed and they are rightly recorded in local counties. Today, even they use satellite in order to define property boundaries. But this was not the case in the day of King Solomon when he wrote those words. And that is why, back then, the landmarks were of uttermost importance. In Israel, the landmarks and the boundaries were ordered by divine command. The promised land, because it is the land of promise that God promised Abraham and his descendants, it was divided among the tribes by divine order. It was divided by the great divine surveyor in heaven. That land could never be sold. The longest lease would run for 50 years from Jubilee to Jubilee. And that is why it was considered to be a high crime to sell the land. It was high crime to change the landmarks that have put boundaries on these land. It is a crime to tamper with the permanent boundaries that were set by God and set by the founding fathers and set by the forefathers of Israel. It was a sin against the holy God to change or to modify those landmarks which were set by the founding fathers. Now, while the text specifically speaks of the crime of moving physical landmark in the promised land, I don't think I'm doing the text injustice when I apply it to the United States of America. When I apply the text to the moral and spiritual landmarks that have been set by the founding fathers of America. The removal of the moral and spiritual boundaries that have defined this great and blessed land that we call America is indeed a spiritual crime. The removal of these moral and spiritual landmarks, where they were placed by men and women who literally gave their lives in order to ensure and to bring about the Word of God to this land, is indeed those who are moving them will receive the judgment of God, just as they did in the physical land, unless we restore them. Today we are seeing with our own eyes the moral and spiritual crime of removing America's ancient landmarks. In fact, they have removed them so far from their place of origin that they are impossible to even recognize now. It is impossible to see the landscape as it was. Today, we have a government that is determined not only to remove the ancient landmarks that were set by the founding fathers, but to destroy them. Today, there are evil forces that are working behind the scene to obliterate these moral and spiritual ancient landmarks that were set by the founding fathers. Some of you, I'm sure, were asking, what are these moral and spiritual landmarks? And I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. The first landmark that was set by the founding fathers was the Mayflower Covenant. And the Mayflower Compact reads, in the name of God, we, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into the civil body politic. That's the first landmark. Now, there is a spiritual crime that has been committed in moving these landmarks by outlawing the name of Jesus Christ out of public life. In fact, the British historian Paul Johnson said that the Mayflower Compact was the single most important formative event in early American history. The Mayflower Compact was the first step toward the American Constitution. Somebody is going to pay for the removal of that landmark. Another ancient landmark was the Declaration of Dependence on the Almighty God. These boundaries were so clear, they were so visible, nobody can deny them. Let me share them with you, that all men are created equal, that all are endowed by their Creator with certain and inalienable rights, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. These are vital, important, ancient landmarks. And they tell us that our rights come from God and not from the government. Today, a moral and spiritual crime has been committed by removing these boundaries. Today, the government has created a society with 50% of the population dependent on the government and not on God. Someone will pay the price for removing that landmark. Another ancient landmark is summarized in the words of George Washington, and it reads as follows: "It is impossible to govern without God and the Bible." Today, that ancient landmark has been moved, and we have a president who mocks the Bible and quotes what he calls the Holy Quran. Someone will pay for the removal of that ancient landmark. Another ancient landmark was summarized in the words of the founding fathers when they said that when the importance of religion is diminished, referring, of course, to the Christian religion, so is the effectiveness of government. That ancient landmark has long been tampered with. And today, in the White House, they celebrate Ramadan and they shrug the National Day of Prayer. Someone will pay for the removal of that landmark unless we repent. Another landmark, ancient landmark, summarized in the words of Abraham Lincoln when he said that the only assurance of our nation's safety is to lay our foundation in morality and Christianity. That ancient landmark, too, has been obliterated by the media and the government, though who are anxious to appease our enemies and to offend our friends and to destroy our foundation and outlaw prayer from public life. Someone will have to pay for that sin. Another ancient landmark is summarized in the 1844 Supreme Court ruling when it says the Bible, especially the New Testament, should be read and taught as divine revelation in the schools. And it continues, "Where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly or so perfectly as from the New Testament?" Today, there is a spiritual and moral crime that has been committed in that removing of that ancient landmark. Today, the ACLU and the liberal courts treat the Bible, especially the New Testament, as a dangerous document. Document that is to be confiscated from school kids in the times of the school time. Somebody will pay for the removal of that ancient landmark. Another landmark, ancient landmark, was placed by the Supreme Court in 1892, which said, "Morality of the country is deeply regrafted upon Christianity and not upon the doctrinal worship of other religions." You see, these ancient landmarks, this particular ancient landmark was obliterated and was destroyed by the Supreme Court of 1980 when they removed the Ten Commandments from a school in Kentucky, citing their fear, listen to that, lest the students read them and obey them. Someone will pay for the removal of that ancient landmark. Another landmark was placed by our forefathers in the New York Supreme Court. In 1811, Supreme Court of New York said, whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends manifestly to dissolution of civil government because it tends to corrupt the morals of the people and destroy good order. Somebody has removed that ancient landmark. There is a moral and spiritual crime that has been committed by removing of that ancient landmarks of the founding fathers of New York. Somebody will pay for the removal of that landmark. Another ancient landmark was placed by our forefathers in the words of Webster. Listen carefully. The principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administration are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. And then it continues. He says, the man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be an accessory to all of the public discord which society is doomed to suffer. How prophetic those words are. How prophetic they are, the words of Webster. He knew that someday a moral and spiritual crime are going to be committed and to tamper with the landmark that was placed by the founding fathers. Today we have judges who are not going back to the Bible, but they are legislating from the Quran, Sharia Quran of Islam. Somebody will pay for the removal of that ancient landmark. In the last 50 years, we have had court after court busily removing these ancient landmarks. We have had one education department of all both sides of the aisle, education department after education department, that is rewriting the history of this great nation. The history of America has been distorted and has removed all of the ancient landmarks. School after school teaches untruth about American history. School after school refuse to teach the truth about the founding fathers. They never tell the students, for example, that 95% of the 250 founding fathers were committed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They never tell them that during the Jefferson administration, who is supposed to be the patron saints of the Civil Liberties Union, that one day there was a four-hour communion service held in the Treasury Department. They never teach the students that Connecticut was founded by a Puritan pastor by the name of the Reverend Thomas Hooker, and that Connecticut was founded based on a sermon by the Reverend Thomas Hooker back in 1638 on the Christian principles of government. Yeah, they never tell the students the truth that Providence, Rhode Island, was named thus by the Reverend Roger Williams because he believed God's providence has protected him there. They never tell the students that 24 out of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were actually had equivalent of a seminary degree. They never tell them the truth. They don't tell the students that Andrew Jackson, the 7th president, whose face graces our $20 bill, said and declared that the Bible is the rock upon which the Republic rests. They never tell the students the truth. They don't tell them that the peace treaty that ended the Revolutionary War began by saying, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. They never tell them, students, the truth that John Adams declared that our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. No wonder they want to shred the Constitution. No wonder Time magazine had a picture of a shredder shredding the Constitution, asking the question, does it really matter? Well, if the president declared that America no longer a Christian nation, Of course they want to throw away the Constitution and place it with the whims and the ideology of a man. Somebody is going to pay for the removal of that landmark. So what is the answer? What is the answer? We have been promised by politicians, we've been promised hope and change. And all sounds good. But all the hope and change that they have delivered so far has led to hopelessness, division, and despair. The change that have delivered so far is taking us over the cliff into a dark abyss. Listen to me. As a boy, I longed to come to America. I am the most grateful American citizen probably you're going to find on the face of this nation. And that is why I speak with passion, because my love for this country is the love that brought me to this country. I chose to come here, and I'm grateful to be an American. But I want you to listen very carefully. The only hope and change that is worthy of these words is the hope in Christ and the change that leads to repentance of our sins. Repentance from our sin of departing from the truth. From the sin of removing these ancient landmarks that were placed by our forefathers. The only change that is worthy of the name is when the hearts of the leaders turn from their selfish ambitions into serving the living God. The only change that is worthy of the name is when our leaders' heart turn from self-serving to people-serving. The only change that is worthy of the name is when the leaders stop ingratiating themselves to Muslim imams and bowing down to them and start bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only change that is worthy of that word is when leaders repent of being ashamed of the gospel and publicly worship the one and only true God of the founding fathers. The only change that is worthy of the name is when church leaders stop compromising and wanting to be liked by society and start living a holy life. The only change that is worthy of the name is when the true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is invited back at the center and not expedience. The only change that is worthy of the name is the change that will lead us all the way back to Christ and crown Him to be the Lord of all and the Lord of America. I have a deep burden for America. Because America's moral decay did not happen out there. It happened in the Church of Jesus Christ. And as goes the church, so goes society. And when pastors stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and start preaching socialism and Marxism, the decay began, and the social decay and the moral decay has begun in America. And I believe with all my heart that if God is saying something to America today, on this 4th of July, He's saying what He said through the mouths of Isaiah the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet. You are wearying me with your civic religions. Repent before it's too late. You are wearying me with your syncretism and compromise. Repent before it's too late. You are wearying me with your empty worship on Sunday and living like the devils on the rest of the week. Repent before it's too late. You are wearying me with your empty words, and deep down you have surrendered to sin. Repent before it's too late. But I know that I have no authority over anybody except me. That's the only authority I have, is over me. And therefore, I can begin with me. And therefore, repentance has to begin in me. I can invite others to join me, but I'm the only one who can command and responsible for myself. You can begin repentance with you. And beloved, I am absolutely convinced that as this move of the Spirit of God leads believers to repent of their sins and the sin of the nation, Only then can we truly see true change, genuine change, lasting change, everlasting change. Our loving Father, I stand as I lead your people into the very throne room of God, confessing to you our sin of apathy, confessing to you our sin of indifference, confessing to you that we sat back and did nothing when we could have done something, confessing to you that we have compromised with the world, confessing to you that you are the only true God, and yet we kept our mouths shut. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you may forgive me. Forgive us. Father God, we turn to you with all of our hearts. We stand in the gap on behalf of this blessed land called America, a land that you have placed here for your glory and for the advancement of your gospel. Lord, document after document has declared that this is the purpose, and that is why we are blessed. Father, we have gone unto the blessing, and we grabbed for the blessing, and we have forgotten the blesser. And we ask you to forgive us. Father, we repent on behalf of the leaders. We repent on behalf of the nation. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive us. Lord, I pray that you be welcome back again in the pulpits that have shunned you, from the public houses that have shunned you. Father, I pray in the schools that have shunned you, in the White House that has shunned you, in the People's House and the Congress that have shunned you. In the name of Jesus, we invite you back. Holy Spirit, bring a spirit of repentance that it may start with me and start with us and sweep right across the land so Jesus may be welcomed once again in our lives so that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen and amen and amen.